It is the most hateful time of the year. Welcome to our Badger Hate Week podcast, everyone. This is Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. I'm Joe McCann, and I'm joined, as always, by Phil Bush. Phil, are you filled with hate this week?
Yes, as if I were the emperor, the hate is flowing through me, and I am ready to unleash it on the Red Menace. But we've been busy.
We have. Sorry, it's been a little late in the week. Sorry. Took us a few days to get to it, guys. Things going on at work. I've been busy planning some travel at work, booking hotels and things. I don't want to have to share a room on a work trip or anything like that. And plus, I had some car trouble. I had to go to AutoZone and get some things fixed. But that's all taken care of, Phil. So now I'm ready to talk about the Badgers and the week in Marquette basketball. But first, I want to talk about the previous two games because there's been a lot going on with the Georgia and Fresno State games. The freshmen really shone through in those last two wins.
Yeah. So is all better? Are we good to go now? Now that we got a road win against a top 75 team and we beat a frisky mid-major on our own home court, are we all good?
Did I say that was a trap game or not? Because it was a little bit of a struggle against Fresno State, and Fresno State did not disappoint me in that regard, as they were a pretty worthy opponent. That's a team that may make the tournament eventually, but it did feel good to get two wins over teams that were not cupcakes.
Yes, and to be fair to everyone else who didn't quite believe you maybe that it was a trap game, it was really more of a trap half. Mm-hmm. But be that as it may, starting with the Georgia game, the Georgia game was the way it kind of played out. It reminded me as if we lived in a mirror universe, and it's the what should have happened in the Pitt game, right? I mean, Marquette kind of came out, they established what they wanted to do, were just red hot from three. Even Caton, I don't believe in a bad location for a shot, Reinhardt hit a couple of threes early in that game. And Marquette really stepped out on Georgia, tried to kind of let Georgia back in midway through the second half, but then maybe in a sign of improved coaching, Wojo got a quick timeout in there and kind of reestablished dominance to get a you know, it's not a spectacular road win, but it's certainly a strong road win that'll pay off on the resume down the road, I believe.
Yeah, you would hope. I mean, Georgia, I don't expect them to necessarily contend in the SEC, but I think they'll be a decent team in the SEC. I mean, they were in the tournament last year, and so, I mean, they'll be hanging around. I don't think they're going to be anywhere near Kentucky or anything like that. But yeah, to go on the road and beat a power conference team, I'll take it. I'll always take that. And I thought Marquette played exceptionally well in that game. I thought they defended pretty well. I mean, honestly, victory never really was in doubt in that game. I mean, yeah, it was close, I mean, at times, but I never felt Marquette was not in control of the game against Georgia. I thought the offense moved pretty well. Sam Hauser hit some big shots. When it was kind of in crunch time there in the second half, where it looked like Georgia was getting close and kind of chopping that lead away, he got inside and got a big and one, and of course he continues to just shoot the ball amazingly well. Back-to-back 19-point games for Hauser this week, and you just can't help but be impressed and think that Marquette may really have something in the freshman.
Well, and especially with the Georgia game, and certainly with the Fresno State to a certain extent, with that game, with the Georgia game, Hauser showed some more offensive repertoire than we had seen previously. Yes, he's a shooter. Yes, he's tall and can lay the ball up. But he had a kind of turnaround jumper from the baseline. Go ahead.
Yeah, pro move. I mean,
yeah, I was gonna say it was Dirk-like. I'm not saying it's Dirk, but it was Dirk Nowitzki-like.
Just to keep it simpler, that's just a move you get from an NBA player.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a beautiful move, and I hope that becomes a regular part of his game going forward, and that's just not a, hey, remember that one time Sam made that great turnaround jumper? No, I hope that's something we'll continue to see more from him as he evolves as a player.
Well, and I wonder if that is a kind of an artifact of Wojo giving him minutes and letting him play through mistakes and mm-hmm. And him just gaining confidence. I mean, I know he was well-regarded coming out of school, but what he's been able to produce as a freshman so far, I don't think is equivalent to what we would have expected, right? I mean, he's exceeding expectations. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. I thought he would play. I didn't think he would play. I will. I may have to backtrack on that. When he first committed, I wasn't sure he was going to play at all.
Right.
But then, as the roster developed, and I looked like Marquette was going to be a little small, I thought, well, maybe he'll have to play a little bit. And I heard Wojo say over the summer, we expect Sam to play a lot. Well, maybe Sam's going to play a little bit. And then even once the season started, I was kind of like, well, maybe he'll be a decent backup and a guy who comes off the bench. And he has far exceeded every expectation I've had, particularly what I thought the day he committed, or the day he signed, I should say. And, yeah, I didn't expect him to be a starter and a guy getting 25 plus minutes a game, which looks like what he may be getting going forward. I didn't expect that at all, but I certainly hope these last two games weren't just a fluke and that we're going to get more games like this from Sam Hauser the rest of the season and, of course, the rest of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he looks competent on the defensive end, certainly, even though sometimes he has to play a little out of position or against guys bigger, both height and weight than him. But, I mean, all around, I was impressed with Hauser in the, I guess, preseason, you would call it, that I certainly thought he was going to get some minutes, but he's kind of blossomed instantaneously. And you think if he were able to produce at the level he is now, which is all of like 3 weeks later, you really go back and you think that Pitt game maybe has a different result as well. So, I mean, it bodes well, even in the short time he's played, how developed his game has become. You know, there's a long way to go. He hasn't done it against, you know, top 10 competition, but we'll get a chance to see that this weekend. But, you know, he's definitely developing an inside out game that I think is going to be very, very powerful for Marquette. And he's the one player on the team that I have zero issue with whenever he just chooses to pull the trigger on a three.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember a terrible shot he's taken. I mean, yeah, he's missed some, but I just don't remember very many shots by Sam Hauser that I'm watching television thinking, oh, gosh, you know, what was that? I mean, he takes good shots, and he gets good looks, and he's shooting at a high percentage right now. And he's not the only freshman shooting it well right now. Marcus Howard has had two good games, 25 points over two games between Georgia and Fresno State. And in the Fresno State game, he had to play quite a bit because Tracy Carter was nursing a sore knee. His status for the Wisconsin games, and I guess up in the air, but we'll see what happens. But I was certainly been impressed with Howard, who may be, I don't know, taking an early lead in this point guard shuffling we have going on that could be a fluid situation.
Yeah, and Howard showed some leadership, and you certainly think some of that was impacted by Tracy not being potentially being limited for the Georgia game and then not available for the Fresno State game. But Howard was on the floor at the end of the game when it mattered, and for both the Fresno State and the Georgia game, hit some clutch free throws, hit some good shots, played in control, wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But again, even more, I think to a certain extent, the Marcus Howard, the way he's playing is perhaps even more remarkable to me than Sam Hauser, simply given his age and his ability to succeed in a difficult situation at such a young age. You know, he's 17 and he's getting in there and mixing it up with 22-year-old kids and putting on moves people that have been playing for 4 years at the collegiate level. It's pretty impressive in my book.
Yeah, I mean, Howard, doesn't turn 18 till after the season.
Yeah.
He's still just a kid and shooting, and yeah, again, leadership, you know, I think that comes from all those games he played with USA Basketball. He's a confident kid. He's played with some of the best players in the country on the high school level, and, you know, playing at Findlay Prep, he traveled around the country, there's some great competition in high school, and yeah, he's shooting the ball well. I mean, he came in with a reputation as a three-point shooter, and is shooting 50% from three so far. 18 for 36 on the year. So certainly love what I'm seeing from both those guys. Any other takeaways you get from those two wins over the weekend, Phil?
Well, I think the freshman developing, one of the things that's of note, we've kind of picked on Caton over the last couple of podcasts about his performance, and his performances still weren't great, but Hanif Cheatham's been struggling here the last few games.
He has.
And I think it's going to be, hopefully he can break out of that slump against Wisconsin. But I bring it up not to pick on Hanif, who's still my favorite player on this team right now. But as a, you know, kind of as an indicator, Hanif was between Hanif and Luke. Those were going to be going into the season. We would have said those are the two players that have to produce for this team for them to win on a, you know, day in and day out standpoint. Juwan Johnson's probably in there as well. But with Hanif, you know, underperforming his capability in the last couple of games, I think it just shows how many more options this team has now than we thought maybe they did. That they were winning, you know, some cupcake games really big and got two quality wins in a Fresno State and a Georgia win.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's something we kind of hoped for when we were breaking down the roster in the preseason, was that the depth of this team would make maybe poor if some players go into slumps, those slumps would be a little forgivable because hopefully there's somebody else who can pick up the slack and make shots and still contribute. And I think that's kind of what's happening over the last couple games here with Hanif. Struggling with his shot a little bit, hasn't been able to score much, but you got to feel pretty confident that he's going to come around, hopefully, after what we saw from him last year. And certainly you would expect him to at least bring everything he's got on the defensive end, because they're going to need it on Saturday. So hopefully maybe he can get some confidence going on that end of the floor, and maybe that will translate to the offensive end, and as hopefully some of the guys who have been playing well offensively can kind of set him up and maybe get him some, he can get some open looks because of that.
Yeah, I think some of it is the transition in his role in the offense, right? I mean, he's being asked to do more this year than he did last year. So as he's expanding and trying to figure out how he fits in that new role, I think it's a bit of some growing pains. But hopefully he'll come through it and we'll really, like you said, we're going to need him to help fill up the scoring table, because this Saturday is going to be tough. But the other thing that kind of came away out of the last couple of games and our current favorite beat writer for Marquette, Matt Velasquez, had an article even about Matt Helt. And that's the other takeaway I take from the last couple of games is Matt Helt, I think, is going to deliver more for us this season than perhaps we anticipated.
Yeah, I think he's been giving Marquette some pretty good minutes. You know, even if it's not shown up as far as points and as far as, you know, the box score, I think he's been aggressive defensively, and I think learning a little bit to not commit so many offensive fouls, which has limited his playing time in the past, and you know that allows Luke Fisher to not have to play 38 minutes a night. And that was one of my hopes in the preseason, Phil, when we were hoping for breakout players. I picked Helt just because I was more hoping more than anything that he would be in a position when the season is over that we can look forward to next year and say, we're comfortable that Matt Helt is now our starting center.
Yeah.
And I think he is trending in that direction, hopefully. But yeah, Marquette is going to need good minutes from Matt Helt if they're going to, you know, get as many wins as they're going to need to be a tournament team. So it's good to see that he is developing and hopefully getting a little more confident out there.
Yeah, and I think whether it's intentional or not or what exactly it is, but he certainly, I think, in the scenarios where defense is important, not that defense isn't always important, but, you know, where defense is critical or we're struggling defensively on the interior, I actually think Helt is maybe not for long, long minutes, but Helt is perhaps a more desirable has a more desirable skill set than Luke Fisher does right now. I think if you compare the two defensively, I think Matt Helt has the edge right now, which is pretty remarkable.
I don't know.
I mean, he just, like even in the Fresno State game, I mean, there was one series or a couple of series where he took a charge, he then came back down and had a pin block, and then turned around and got another charge again. And he seems a little more adept in the pick and roll defense in my book. I don't know if he's just quicker than Luke.
I guess it's harder for me just because we get such good production from Luke offensively.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Luke has just got such a nice fluid offensive game around the basket. What is he shooting, like 75% from the floor this year?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not like he's burying 18-foot jumpers, but he's just getting such good position and getting close enough to the rim and getting easy buckets. So it's hard for me to put Matt Helton in that regard yet, but I kind of see what you're saying is that there's potential that maybe down the road Helton could be a very, you know, give us what Luke is giving us now.
Well, no, well, I'm just simply saying from a defensive standpoint that that Helt is at least equal, if not slightly better than Luke on the defensive end. I mean, the offensive end, it's not even comparison. So there's, okay. You know, you're not going to switch it out. But from a defensive standpoint, I can certainly see situations where potentially where we need a stop where Helt's the go-to instead of Fisher, especially with fouls in consideration.
That may come into play Saturday because yes. As we look at, you know, as we start talking about Saturday, you know, Ethan Happ, you know, as much, you know, love or hate, you know, obviously we all hate the batters on this podcast, but you got to give Ethan Happ respect that he is among the best in the country at, you know, establishing position and kind of going to work in the post. I mean, he is a frustrating player to defend. You know, he's honestly been one of the better players in the country. If you look at KenPom individual rankings, you know, he's been tough. And so we'll see what he's able to do against Fisher and Helt this week.
Well, and he's an atypical center for the Badgers in that he's, you know, I don't know that he hasn't attempted. He may have attempted, but he certainly hasn't hit a three-point shot, which is not normal for a Badger center.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the case, but it was definitely the case when I was watching Wisconsin a few weeks ago. I think it was against, maybe their Georgetown game or maybe the Syracuse game. But they said during the broadcast that Matt Helt has never made a basket outside of the paint.
You mean Ethan Happ?
Yeah, what did I say?
Sorry. You said Helt.
I mean,
true for Helt too, but.
Yeah, but yeah, Happ has never made a bucket outside of the paint. Not that he's attempted many, but that's just his game. He is not a jump shooter. He is going to go to get into the post and try to get a layup or a dunk. And if he doesn't have that, he's probably not going to shoot.
Right. Now, the thing, and I guess we're transitioning to talk about the Wisconsin game, but the one thing that you would think that would be a benefit for Marquette, because, again, we've talked about several times that Marquette seems to struggle in pick-and-roll defense, and Wisconsin is not really going to run many pick-and-rolls, A, and B, you certainly don't have to worry about Ethan Happ coming off the pick-and-roll as a shooter. He's purely going to the lane. So it simplifies, if you will, the defensive strategy if they do go to some sort of pick-and-roll set.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, Phil, as we kind of, as we kind of shift gears here and now start talking about the Red Menace on Saturday, you know, the two things that jump out to me when you're guarding and trying to face Wisconsin, obviously, is you got to try to keep Happ away from the basket the best you can, try to defend him in the lane, can't let him get too many easy buckets, and hopefully you're turning, you know, Nigel Hayes into a jump shooter because that is
yes,
not
please.
His forte. You know, if he's driving to the basket all day, it's going to be a long day for Marquette. What concerns you the most about Wisconsin other than their smug fans, their pantsless mascot, and the chance Bo Ryan could show up as a vampire and start attacking people?
Well, you know, I mean, I have concerns about, you know, too many massage therapists at the court. But other than that, I would say my biggest concern is their rebounding, right? Both offensive and defensive rebounding. Marquette has been pretty solid, certainly more solid than I anticipated around the defensive rebounding end. They're not very good offensive rebounds, but you take what you can get. But Wisconsin is an extremely sound rebounding team, and so it's very, very likely they're going to limit Marquette to single chances on the offensive end. And if Marquette's not careful, Wisconsin's going to get multiple chances. And the key to beating Wisconsin is to create as many offensive possessions as you can against them. And if they're getting offensive rebounds, they're actually eliminating Marquette offensive possessions, which is going to be very bad for Marquette. So the rebounding's a big concern.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, you know, according to KenPom, Wisconsin, 10th in the nation in offensive rebounding percentage, and first in the nation at holding their opponents in offensive rebounding percentage, only allowing 19% offensive rebounding percentage, and they have a 40% offensive rebounding percentage of their own. So that is, statistics back up everything you said. they are going to crash the boards well. And so, you know, Fisher and Helt are going to have their hands full, and other guys are going to have to rebound too, guys that maybe aren't used to getting a lot of rebounds. You know, Cheatham, that's another way he can contribute. We talked about a way he can get going and contribute. Cheatham can be a very good rebounder for his size. You know, when Reinhardt's in there, he's going to have to rebound. And so that's going to be a critical part of the game. And you mentioned tempo. You know, styles could not really be more different. Marquette, top 25 in the country in tempo right now. Wisconsin, almost near the very bottom, 346.
It's like watching paint dry.
Yeah, and you know, with their best teams, I have to give them credit. You know, when their Final Four teams, even though their tempo was slow, they did play a pretty good brand of basketball. I mean, they made good shots. They were very efficient. But yeah, when you play that slow, it is kind of brutal sometimes, but I have to give them credit. It has worked for them very well, though.
One, the thing that's frustrating as both as a someone who appreciates basketball and played in the offensive end, and someone who hates Wisconsin, like the thing is that Wisconsin's going to almost always is going to play whatever pace they want to play, right? I mean, it is very, very difficult for teams to speed Wisconsin up. And one of the fears would be if Marquette tries too hard, they try and push pace too much on the offensive end, they're just creating, you know, turnovers or bad shots that result in defensive rebounds for Wisconsin that lead to more opportunities for Wisconsin to bleed clock. I mean, Wisconsin's going to be happy if it's a 20-19 game at half. I mean, they're going to be super excited about that.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing to watch for Marquette is how well they can turn Wisconsin over, because, you know, Marquette's been pretty good at getting steals, and, you know, turnovers for Marquette has been up and down. You know, that Georgia game was interesting because in that first half against Georgia, when they were just making everything, you know, the only reason the game wasn't a blowout was because Marquette was turning the ball over too much and keeping Georgia in it. And then in the second half, it went away. You know, they turned the ball over a little less, but, you know, the three-pointers weren't falling as much. But Marquette has shown an ability to get a lot of turnovers so far this year, and I think that could be a big difference in the game, because Wisconsin's kind of middle of the road both ways as far as both turning the ball over and forcing turnovers.
Yeah, you know, so it's going to be contrasting styles, right? I mean, Marquette's trying to create, like I said, create more possessions, and they're going to try and do it by turnovers. Wisconsin's going to try and limit possessions by going super slow and gathering up all the rebounds. So, you know, if Marquette can push pace on the offensive end a little bit, maybe extend their defense on Wisconsin, because this is going to be interesting, because this is going to be the first year in quite some time that I can't even remember a time when it wasn't this way, or that it was not the opposite. But this year, Wisconsin is going to be the worst three-pointing team of the two. Right, Marquette's going to be the better three-pointing team coming into this game. Right. So you want to make them take three-point shots.
Yeah, not too many. Like, depending on who it is, I definitely don't want Koenig shooting too many, because you know he could be a trouble. But obviously, I would love to have Nigel Hayes shooting a bunch.
Yeah, or Vito Brown, or yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, but you know, even though Koenig's percentage isn't much better than Hayes. I mean, Hayes actually, I mean, he hasn't shot as many this year. He's only shot 33 this year, and he's 33%. But, you know, Koenig's at 34%, but he's a guy, I mean, he's a guy who could get hot and really start lighting it up. So, but yeah, your point is well taken. Marquette, you know, in the past, you would always say Marquette gets in trouble when they settle for jump shots, you know. And there's a difference between settling for jump shots and taking good shots. But yeah, I wouldn't say I want them to settle for jump shots. This Marquette team, if they have open looks, heck yeah, take them.
Yeah, especially if your name is Sam Hauser.
Yeah, if your name is Hauser or Howard or, you know, Dwayne Wilson, you know, he hasn't been – what's Dwayne shooting this year? I mean, he's at 35%, and he's only shot 17, but, you know, at Cheatham, again, he's been struggling, but still, I mean, he's shown to be a pretty good three-point shooter in the past. And the question always is, will this be the game when Reinhardt gets going?
He's got to have one eventually, right?
You know, you would think eventually he will. And, you know, after the Fresno State game, Wojo maybe shown his frustration a little bit with Reinhardt. As, you know, he said, anytime you look at a guy shooting that far below his career percentage, you got to think about shot selection. And so that's something we're talking about. And, you know, I wonder if maybe it's in Reinhardt's head a little bit. And maybe he's starting to force things, and I don't know. Maybe he just needs just a mental break a little bit. maybe just take a day off. I don't know. Maybe the Christmas break would help him. Maybe just take a day off from basketball and just clear his head or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because even in he has not been shooting well. Some of the shots you certainly think that he's taken, he could pass up because there could be better shots. But even the shots he's taken, I don't think they're horrific, like there's no way that's going in looks. Like, he just can't buy a bucket even on open looks. I mean, he had...
Yeah, I think it was towards the end of that Fresno State game. They drew up a play for him, and he was wide open in the corner. And yeah, and with a guy with his career percentage, I mean, that's not a shot you hate, but, I mean, he missed it. And so because of his season so far, you're frustrated with it. But yeah, you just kind of wonder when he's going to come around and have a game where he makes, you know, 6 out of 8, or, you know, makes you know, 4 out of 7 or something like that, and has a game where, all right, now he's finally getting going a little bit.
Right. You just hope he doesn't, especially against somebody like Wisconsin, you hope he doesn't try and force his way into hot shooting, right? By like, all right, I'm going to take over the offense here and go hero ball, and I'm going to jumpstart myself by getting a couple of buckets and you know, and kind of stagnating the offense. Because, you know, Wisconsin will be able to pick that out. I mean, they're a good defensive team, and so it's gonna have to be ball movement that beats Wisconsin, not hero ball.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if how Wisconsin defends Reinhardt, if they're gonna say, you know what, go for it, buddy. Let's see if you have your shot yet, and before they actually start getting out there on him, if they're just gonna dare him to shoot and see if they can still get in his head and force him to take more bad shots, or if they respect him and stay out there on him from the get-go. So I'll be interested to see how other teams start defending Reinhardt as his recent trends continue. But, you know, Phil, for me, let's finish this sentence. Marquette will win the game if...
I think Marquette will win the game if we can get some good minutes out of Tracy Carter, because we're going to need depth, because I think there will be fouls. And if Juwan Johnson – I think Juwan Johnson is going to be the key to the game. If Juwan Johnson gets at least 19 points, I think we win the game.
Well, all right, that's a good call. I like that.
How would Marquette, you finish the sentence?
I would say Marquette wins the game if they can make Wisconsin uncomfortable on offense. And by that, I mean having Hayes shoot more jumpers than he would prefer, and not allow Hap getting as close to as he likes, and pestering him, maybe even doubling him every time he gets the ball, and just making his life a nightmare down there in the post and not letting him go to work. I think Marquette will win the game if they put together their best defensive effort of the season.
Yeah, that's a good call. The question is going to be, you know, Hap doesn't really foul, and Wisconsin doesn't really – well, let me rephrase. Wisconsin doesn't really get called for fouls.
Did you know that Wisconsin has not committed a foul since 1993?
I had been made aware of it. This Grinch guy told me about that. Then he got pretty upset when one got called, so I stopped paying attention. It's going to be interesting to see, because Marquette's had a propensity to foul more this season than they have in seasons past. And especially Luke Fisher, it's critical that he remain on the good side of the ledger when it comes to fouls. So that matchup between Ethan Happ and Luke Fisher is going to be very interesting, because if Happ can get Fisher into trouble from a fouling standpoint, that could be critical.
Yeah, if Marquette could find a way to win the rebounding battle in this game, that's a win.
Oh, yeah.
They'll win the game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you wouldn't even have to look at the score. If Marquette beats Wisconsin on rebounds, they've won the game, flat out.
Yeah. And
that's a better answer than mine.
What's that?
I said that's a better answer than mine. I should have gone with that one.
Let's just go with that one. But, you know, and hopefully the three-point shots continue to fall the way they have for Marquette, because if suddenly we show up on Saturday and the three-point shots aren't falling, well, then Marquette's in a world of trouble. I mean, they have to continue to be one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, which they have been so far, as crazy as that sounds, as that is to say. Marquette, 10th in the country in effective field goal percentage.
Yep.
36th in the country in three-point percentage. Not too shabby.
No, and that's with Caton hitting like 24%, right? I mean,
right? Yeah, he's you take away his 10 out of 39, I bet that would be pretty good looking percentage there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that keeps going for everyone else, and if Caton could just get to his career average, I think Marquette is going to be a frustrating team to play for anyone, including Wisconsin. So.
Who do you think is guarding, you know, so the critical players are going to be Happ, Caning, and Hayes. We know who's going to guard Happ. It's going to be some combination of Helton and Fisher. Who do you think are the defensive stoppers for Marquette that are guarding Hayes and Koenig?
All right. If he's healthy, I think it's got to be Carter on Koenig. Yeah. I think he still is probably Marquette's best defensive guard. Well, you know, Cheatham's up there too, but I was going to say you might need Cheatham
on Hayes.
On Hayes, you know, just because as much as I love Hauser, I think Hayes would be just a nightmare matchup for him.
Right. Go ahead.
I think Hayes would be able to get to the rim. You know, I think he'd probably try to bring Hauser away from the basket and then get by him and get to the rim. So, I think it might have to be Cheatham on Hayes, but the thing is, Wojo's going to be running a lot of guys out there. It's not like he's only going to play five or six guys. He's going to play everybody that's healthy, and if Carter's healthy, he's going to probably be playing all 10 guys.
Yeah, well, and what's interesting is last year, part of the key to Marquette winning, which let's all just remember and bask in the glory of beating Bucky in the coal hole, but Sandy Cohen was kind of the Nigel Hayes stopper in that game.
Yeah. Speaking of Sandy, you know, he committed to Green Bay this week, in case you missed that. And, you know, I kind of read, the Marquette Tribune, I think it was, or they did a little article with him. And I kind of felt bummed by some of the things Sandy was saying. I said the coaches weren't talking to me, and I just didn't have any relationship with any coaches. And that was a bummer. But, you know, he says he's going to apply to get this year back, which I thought he might. I don't think that's going to go well for him. I think it's going to get denied. Thing is, if we knew it was going to get denied, I wish Sandy could suit up and guard Hayes this week.
Right.
Goes on to greener Bay pastures, I should say. But I hope that works out for Sandy and he gets that year back. But based on recent trends, as Paint Touch has pointed out, John Dawson played all of 4 minutes under Wojo and then transferred, and that counted as his full sophomore year. He was not able to get that year back at Liberty, which is where he's playing now. So Sandy has played like just under 20 minutes, I think, this year,
yep.
And he's applying to get the year back. I don't think he'll get that. For his sake, I hope he does. But, yeah, I wish if we knew definitely he wasn't getting the year back, I'd say, Sandy, you know, suit up on Saturday.
Right.
Be a defensive stopper, and then you can go off to Green Bay.
Right, right. We'll talk to you all you want. Just make sure Nigel Hayes doesn't do anything. But, yeah. You know, wishing Sandy well, and, you know, I think it's a good move closer to home for him. Okay, great. Hope it works out well. I'm disappointed it didn't work out here. But
yeah, I'm a little bummed too, but, you know, players move on.
Yep, these things happen. Having said that, yeah, I do think Cheatham is the guy that's going to have to guard Hayes for the majority of the time. I do think Sam Hauser would be in a no-win situation for him. He's just not mature or agile enough to take on Hayes. You know, and then Koenig is going to be interesting because there's a couple of different folks you can run at him. What'll be interesting is who you put when, assuming Carter is somewhat limited, who do you put Howard on?
I guess Trice.
Yeah.
Trice or Showalter, who's ever out there running the point guard spot. And then, you know, then Vito Brown, like they've run a bunch of different guys out there at the four, whether it's Brown, Hill's played a few minutes there. Iverson has played a little bit there. So I you know, it'd be interesting to see it. Cause I don't think, I guess maybe I haven't broken down Howard as a defender much. Maybe I should watch some tape more and look at him a little more as a defender, but he may be on Koenig a little bit. thing is, Wojo, he has so many guys. He's going to throw a lot of guys out there, and whoever does the best job in probably that first half, he's going to stick on them in the second half. Be the guy who says, all right, you did a good job on the first half. You're the guy in the second half.
Yeah, well, and I think it's good that, we're playing this at home. I mean, I don't know that the Bradley Center is going to be completely red-free, unfortunately. I know certain people are bringing at least one Badger fan, those idiots.
Boo.
Boo. What a loser that person is. But, you know, it's good, especially the freshmen have performed well, but, you know, playing Madison in Madison is a different animal than going on the road against Georgia or playing in New York City.
Yeah, yeah. So but hopefully there is as much blue as humanly possible. Blue and gold, I should say. I wonder if Marquette's going to be rocking the – you know, they're honoring the 77 team at this game. So for that reason, they just have to win the freaking game.
Absolutely.
And hopefully – maybe Marquette might be wearing the powder blues – maybe because they wore the whites.
As long as it's not the grays.
Yeah.
Let's not see those again.
Let's burn those things.
Yeah.
You dress like Georgetown, you play like Georgetown, so you don't want to see those things again. But maybe we'll see the powder blues. But yeah, it'll be awesome. They're honoring the 77 team this weekend. Hopefully for that reason, big crowd out there. Hope be great to see some of those guys back in Milwaukee from the championship team. And man. Hopefully Marquette gets it done. I think it's going to be a tight game. Obviously, they're always are with Madison, but yeah, I feel pretty good about this game from the perspective that I think Marquette is ready for it. You know, I had Marquette had a poor performance at Georgia, I might be wondering where this team's going. But the flashes we've seen of this team at their best, if we can see that for most of the game on Saturday, I think we might have a happy result.
Yeah, I will say this, that I'm actually – I did not enjoy it since I was in attendance. But the Fresno State game, I will say having Fresno State come back in that second half was a good coaching moment. It also hopefully kind of woke up the team a little bit that these aren't all going to be cakewalks and they really got to put the work in. So I think it's going to be a real – interesting game. I think we're going to know within the first 5 or 6 minutes of that game where it's going to go.
Yeah, because I think by then we'll know if Marquette's shots are falling or not.
Correct. And whether or not Wisconsin's hitting. I mean, we haven't called for predictions yet, but I do think since it's a home game, the three-point shooting and some of the matchups – plus there's a history of Marquette playing well, even though key players are missing. They beat Wisconsin when Junior Cadugan wasn't playing. Tracy Carter may not be available. There's another game I'm forgetting where somebody wasn't available and Marquette won. I have this feeling that Marquette wins.
Yeah. No fear making these predictions, Phil. We don't have lawyers in the room or anything, but
not even multiple lawyers.
No lawyers are necessary. I believe that I think Marquette can win the game too. You know, according to Ken Palm, it's just a 1-point game. It's a toss-up. It could go either way. And I think the hometown crowd, the emotions of the 77 team back, I bet one of those guys says something to the team in the pregame talk, probably get the team fired up, get them inspired, hopefully keep as much red out of the student section and the entire arena as possible. Hey man, I'll pick this one for Marquette. I'll say they win 75-73.
Ooh, that's high scoring. I'm going to say Marquette wins 59-56.
I'll take it any way I can get it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and Marquette's pulling out all the stops. They've even got I don't know if you were at the game where they did the lighting app where you got the app. Well, they've updated it apparently and are pushing real hard to have everyone download that app and have it ready to go for the game on Saturday. So it'll be a very compelling environment. I would say the fan base has been somewhat muted this season. I mean, the Fresno State game was very poorly attended. It was kind of disappointing for as quality of a competition as it was. But I would think playing what's Wisconsin now, a top 10 team, where are they ranked?
I think I think they're actually I think they're in the top 20. They're 17.
Okay, I was looking at the KenPom rank, not at the
KenPom. They're 8.
Yeah, but so they're a top 20 team, arch rival. If the fan base and the even the fair weather fans for Marquette are going to come out, it's going to be this game. So I think the atmosphere is going to be very electric.
By the way, speaking of getting fans out, I just wanted to give a shout out and some kudos to the Marquette promotions team. Did you see all the, I'm sure you saw all the great things they're giving away the rest of the season. T-shirts and pint glasses, with the pint glasses themed with the jerseys throughout the years of Marquette basketball. Those look awesome.
They absolutely do. I think they go to the first 1,000 fans through the door, and having a 1-year-old being the first 1,000th person through the door is going to be a tough one. But that doesn't mean they aren't awesome, because they look ridiculously cool.
I think it's 5,000 for the T-shirts and 1,000 for the pint glasses. But still,
something tells me that certain pint glasses will show up in the spirit shop at some point in time. And if not, they need to get a new promotions team.
Yeah.
Because they're leaving money on the table.
I mean, just make a gift set, put those pint glasses in the spirit shop, and just make a bunch of money. Because being a person who lives in the state of Texas, I would absolutely have to order a few for myself. So looks like some really good giveaways going forward, but that shouldn't be the reason you go to the game on Saturday. Biggest game of the year for Marquette, if they win it, Phil, you know, you got to be feeling really good about this team, you know, heading into Big East play, because they still have a few bye games between now and the start of Big East play. They have two games between here and the Georgetown game, but I mean, you know, if you get this one, I think you have a very respectable non-conference resume. I'd say that's putting it lightly. I think you have a pretty good non-conference.
Yeah, resume. Again, this is a large if, but if they beat Wisconsin, you're really looking at, you know, the Michigan game was just, you know, there's some way you could come up with, well, we played 15 good minutes in that game, but whatever. It was a terrible game. The Pittsburgh game, it was really, you know, a couple of possessions away from being a win. So while they may not have played perfect basketball all through the non-conference season, if you're looking at having a Wisconsin win on the resume, I mean, that gets you a fair amount of leeway within the conference season, where you can go something like 10-8 and still be looking at a real good shot. But I'd also make the argument, you know, we're less likely to go 10-8, more likely to go something like 11-7 or 12-6 if we can.
Easy there.
If we show that we're good enough to beat a team like Wisconsin, right? I mean, yeah. It's from a capability standpoint, the ceiling's certainly higher than we would have expected.
Okay, I can see where you're going there. But yeah, and hey, for what it's worth, I mean, it's not worth much, but Joe Lunardi did have his updated bracketology on Thursday, and he did have Marquette as one of the last four in.
Fine. Like, take it. Any way we get to the NCAA tournament, I will take.
Yeah, and it was funny, you know, Phil, during the 2K Classic, you said it's like playing a bunch of bubble teams. Three of the last four in, SMU, Pitt, Marquette.
Yeah. That, well, I mean, I'm not right about much, but apparently I was right about that.
All right, so we'll take that win, and hopefully we will take a win on Saturday. So get out there, support Marquette, and if you can't get to the game, watch it with Marquette alumni. Even if you're out of state like me, try to find a watch party. There certainly will be quite a few across the country celebrating the Marquette-Wisconsin game. So get out there, support Marquette. Hopefully Marquette gets a big win. As always, we thank you for listening. We always welcome your feedback. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M0OF23. You can hit us at Crack Sidewalks. That's the team Twitter handle. Leave your comments on cracksidewalks.com. That's where we post the podcast there. We also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. We post the podcast there. And hey, rate us and review us on iTunes as well. Phil, let's go Marquette. Let's get the big win. Let's get rid of the red menace.
Yes, and remember, no red for Owen. So if I'm not bringing a red Owen, you don't bring anyone red either.
And no red for anyone.
Right, red's out.
No red on the Marquette campus the rest of the week. I know we've got like 2 days left by the time you're listening to this, but no red.
Just don't wear it. Just banish it. I don't understand.
Don't do
it. This isn't hard. You're college students. You have other colors than red.
Till next time, everyone. Seashells and balloons.